Why don't we pray and then we will get to work. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything we just remembered for your son and how he became poor so that we might become rich. Now, God, I pray that you would use that truth to soften our hearts so that as we read about Jesus, that we would want to be like him, that we would want to imitate him, that we would feel something inside us pulling us towards him and knowing him and imitating him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew. We're actually moving forward today, so I get to turn the page where my marker was from last week. And as we're kind of making a transition, because now Jesus, if your Bible is like mine, mine starts out this section by saying Jesus begins his ministry. And we're going to look at what Jesus started to do. We looked at how he was born and his relationship with the Father and his baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to look at what he started to do when he spent the last few years of his life ministering or doing the work that God had sent him to do. And here's what I want us to focus on for the next couple of weeks as we look at the next few passages, or the next couple of passages. As we look at what Jesus did, we will be able to see a model of what we should be doing. If we are Jesus' followers, so if you are a Christian, if you are someone who follows Jesus, and if you've said, I Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I want to be like him, and you repented and were baptized, and you made that decision, then what we're going to look at over the next couple weeks is a model of how we should be living our lives and what we should be involved in and engaged in. And it's very timely because this happens to be the start of the new year. And at the beginning of the new year, I always like for myself and for all of us together, I like us to think about, okay, as a community of people who follow Jesus, as a person who follows Jesus, what should we be focused on over the next few months? What should we be focused on this year? What should our lives look like? And God in his grace has put passages before us for the next few weeks that will show us and tell us that. And as we look at Jesus' mission, we will be able to see our mission because it is the same mission. And the phrase that I say when we talk about this, when we read passages like this, and you'll hear this over the next few weeks over and over again, is that we exist. If you're a Christian, if you're part of this community of people who follow Jesus, listen, we exist. The reason we exist individually and collectively is so that people far from God can find purpose and peace in Christ. That's why we exist, and we're going to see that that's what Jesus focused on. That's what we should be focused on. But even as I say that, when we talk about Jesus' mission, and when we start saying, okay, that should be our mission, and then we start looking at what does it mean to live that way, that collides with, well, with our selfishness. Because honestly, I would, and probably you too, we want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable in life, but in we're talking about church right now and our Christianity, our relationship with God, we want to be comfortable. I want to go to a church that I like, with people that I like, with the right amount of people. If you want to be kind of anonymous, you want to go to something bigger. If you want to be, you know, well-known and have, you know, a circle of friends around you and pretty much that's all, then you want to go to a smaller church. Either way, we want to be in a size of a group that we like, with the kind of people that we like, with the, you know, the same demographic that's kind of like us. We want to be with people who don't make us uncomfortable on Sunday mornings or any time. I'm talking about me, but I think this is all of us. I want to go to the kind of gatherings that are comfortable for me, and what's comfortable for me, honestly, is what it looked like for me when I was a child. So that's what I immediately identify with. I want things that are, I want programs and that take care of me and my family so that I know that my kids are being well taught and I'm being taken care of and I'm comfortable. Now, there's not anything wrong with a lot of that, but that becomes our focus. I want to be comfortable, especially as it relates to church and to God and Christianity, with people that I like, with people that I know. And we tend to settle into being comfortable. Settle in. We settle into, when we find a church that we like that makes us comfortable, then we settle into a routine. And all of a sudden, days like today come along and we look at what Jesus did and how he spent his life, and there are opportunities for at least for me to wake up and say, wait a second, I have a pretty comfortable routine. I know what it means to be a Christian and do church and be part of a I know what it's like. I know what I do. I do this day, I do this day, and this other day I kind of do my own thing, and then this other day, and then this day I do the same thing again, and I know what it means. It becomes a comfortable routine, and as we talked about it on communion today, that is part of being a Christian. That's a huge part of being a Christian. But when we settle into the comfort of that, we easily start losing the mission that Jesus had and that he calls us to. And the more that I settle into being comfortable in my Christianity with people that I like and get along with, see, I'm saying I like you. That's the people I like and I get along with and that are kind of like me, and a church that I'm comfortable with, and nothing out of the everything's kind of the way I like it. Well, then I gradually stop talking about Jesus. Mike used a word during community day, proclaim. I stop proclaiming Jesus. I stop heralding. I stop talking about Jesus to people around me. Say, what does that mean? How do you talk to people about Jesus around you? What it looks like for me is I stop finding ways in the conversation to tell people, you're in rebellion against God. You're God's enemy. The wrath of God is resting on you. But you can turn to God and give your life to him and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior by repenting and being baptized and become God's child. You can become part of his kingdom. I stop saying that, and I keep living like a good person in my comfortable church routine, but I stop saying that. I stop proclaiming to people around me, you're far from God. You need to turn to God. And even thinking about that, it makes me nervous. I feel like it's a burden. It's like I'm being a good Christian and I'm in my comfortable church routine on Sundays with the group that I like, and then on top of that, I have to find ways to talk about Jesus to people around me. That's just like, isn't it just enough to go to church on Sundays and be a good person? And as I settle into being comfortable and I gradually stop talking about Jesus to people around me and calling other people to him, I end up living a life where I lose the purpose that God has called me to, where I don't experience the joy of stepping into this water and immersing another person and watching them become a new person, where I don't have the joy of walking with someone week after week after week and watching their spiritual eyes be open and God change them from the inside out and the light come on for them. I miss out on that. I miss out on being like Jesus. I end up living a life where I'm a lot like me, maybe a fairly decent perversion of me, but I'm not as much like Jesus, at least not the Jesus that we see in the pages of Matthew, because Jesus lived his life focused on a mission. And so turn to Matthew 4, verse 12. And the big idea in this passage is that Jesus and his followers are to lived, Jesus lived, his followers are to live, Jesus and his followers live focused on outsiders. Jesus and his followers live focused on outsiders. That Jesus was focused on this mission and he was focused on people who were far from the Father. When I say outsiders, it's not people who don't go to our church who don't go to church or who aren't part of our community. It's people who aren't part of God's kingdom. And Jesus was focused on helping people who were far from God, who were not in God's kingdom, come close to the Father. That's what Jesus focused on. That was the focus of his life. And we see it very clearly defined in this passage. When Matthew 4, verse 12. When he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And if you, we're going to keep reading what he did and who he was around, but what I want us to see in these two verses is where Jesus went to live and the people that he chose to be around, this was not an accident. He chose to be with these people. He made a decision. I'm going to move here. I'm going to live here for a while. I'm going to be with these people. This is who he made a conscious decision. It was his to focus on these people for a specific reason. It was not just an accident that happened. And that's where we get the part in the big idea for today. Jesus and his followers are focused on people who are far from God. It's the choosing to focus. He didn't accidentally happen to find himself near some people who were far from his father and say, oh, I should tell them about God, my father. He chose to be with them. Who did he choose to be with? Look at verse 14. So that what was written by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And then it's going to say a prophecy. But as he says this, he's telling us what kind of people Jesus went to live among. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, which is a phrase that, well, he went to live in a place that was on a coastal region bordering a body of water that on the other side was kind of the rest of the world. It was the people who were not part of God's people, not part of the Jewish people. And so over the years, Galilee of the Gentiles referred to people who lived in Galilee. Well, that was kind of the border into the rest of the world. And so, as you can imagine, it over the years had a lot of influence from the rest of the people who weren't God's people. And so Jesus went to live among people who were kind of removed from the rest of God's people. In fact, they spoke differently. Why did they speak differently than the rest of the Jewish people of the time? Because, well, they lived, you know, it's like when I lived in Arkansas. It's right on the border of Texas. You speak different. The closer you are to the South, the more the language starts changing. You get influenced or affected. When I would come back to Nebraska, I was told that it was infected. You'd get affected by the language of the people around you. The people in Galilee were affected by the non-Jewish people, and not just in language, but in culture and customs, and they were, they weren't, it wasn't the good Jewish part of the country. He went to the people who were farther from God, and what that means for us, because you remember how Jesus went when he was like 12, when he went to the temple with his parents and they offered the sacrifices, and then he stayed behind and he was there chatting with the teachers, and he was obviously comfortable in that environment, in the religious environment, with the religious people of his day, the people who spoke Hebrew correctly, who spoke with the right accent, and who were real Jewish people, not these people on the border who had really been contaminated by the outsiders. For us, if we're going to be like Jesus, this means we have to choose to be around people who are different than us. As much as we feel comfortable with people who are like us, we have to choose to be around people who have different interests than us, or in different stages of life, who are different than us, who aren't just part of our community. We have to choose to be around people who are different than us on purpose. Why? Because Jesus did. Because he was focused on people who were far from his father. And this is kind of an aside, and I think we're going to run out of time today, so I'm not going to edit myself as we go, because we'll just pick up next week. This is one reason why, like, you know, having small groups with just people who are like yourself. Have you ever seen churches where it's like, you know, there's the singles and they, you know, hang out, and then once you hit a certain age, then you're with, you know, this group, and then you're with this group, and everybody with people who are like themselves? That's not really what Jesus did. He was with people who were radically different from him, both culturally, religious-wise, like in this example, age-wise. The gospel is going to people who are different than us, because that's what Jesus did when he came to earth. And he didn't just hang out with the people who were the most like him. He went to people who were the least like him in the Jewish nation, and he chose to be with them. And see, I've been a Christian for a long time. My dad baptized me when I was 15, and I turned 40 this year, so that's easy math. I've been a Christian for a while, and I'm really, really comfortable with other Christian people, because we kind of talk the same language, and we're kind of in the same thing, and I kind of know where you're going, and you know where I'm going, and we get along. But put me next to somebody who's in a different part of life, time of life, they're just going in a different direction. They maybe aren't a Christian or haven't been for a long time, or they've drifted far away from God, or it's just a radically different culture, and it's kind of, you have to force conversation. It just doesn't feel as comfortable or as natural because I'm used to this, but I'm not used to that. And Jesus chose to be with people who, the Son of God, not just people who were human, but people who were on the very edge of God's people, who were the farthest away from God in that time. And look at verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So Jesus chose to be with people who weren't just different from the rest of the good Jewish people in his time, but people who, well, when it talks about dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, dwelling in darkness, well, what does the Bible mean when it talks about that? When you're in darkness, you're far from God. You're living on your own. You're not living in the light of the knowledge of God. You're not close to God. The Bible always talks about light and darkness as being close to God, and your life is lit up with the way it's supposed to be when you're connected to the Father, and you read the Bible and there's truth in it and it's light, and Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." And when we become Christians, we go from darkness to light. And these people were living what? In darkness. They were far from God. Jesus went and lived among people who were far from God, and he did it on purpose. You see, think about that. And if you have children, the first thought might be, well, okay, if I spent time with people who are far from God, like if I chose to be among people who were far from God, I'm old enough. I know the kind of things that are going to be said, and I know the kind of vocabulary that's going to be used, and I know the kind of things that are going to be done, and I know the kind of conversations and activities, and I know what's going to be consumed while the barbecue is on. I know that. I don't want my kids around that. I want my kids around, you know, the good examples. And there's truth to that. But listen, Jesus chose to live around people who were in darkness. And if we're going to be imitating Jesus, don't we have to do the same thing? Don't we have to choose to live amongst people and share our lives with people and spend time with people who are far from the Father? That's what Jesus is doing, and he did it on purpose. He chose to do that, and he made an effort to do it. It didn't just accidentally happen. Why am I dwelling on that? Because the longer that you're around church, that I'm around church, the more that the gravitational pull of our lives is to just bring us in, and this is who I'm comfortable with, and the more that I find I have to try to be with people who are non-Christians. I was at a New Year's thing. On New Year's night, at midnight, you eat a huge meal. But then everything left over from that, the closer friends get together the next day and eat the leftovers. It's a tradition. It's a delicious tradition. But anyway, so we were the next day thing, the New Year's Day, you know, you're kind of tired and everything, you're eating. And I saw it. I was thinking about this, and I saw it. It's like there was a guy who we had baptized here a while back, and he was there with his family, and we're friends, and we're brothers. I baptized him. And then there's another guy who I've been praying for a long time, but he's not a Christian yet, and we're kind of going in different directions. And they were both there, and one was over here, and one was over here. And I was thinking about this text. I thought, okay, this is what I think it looks like in this situation. I need to get up. I was talking to the guy who was a Christian. I thought, at this moment, not always, but at this moment, what I need to do, I need to get up from here. I need to go over and choose to sit down next to the guy across the table. Next to is kind of weird, but across the table from the guy who's not a Christian and talk with him. We're friends, so it wasn't, you know, that hard to do that. But there's this gravitational pull. The longer you've been a Christian, the more comfortable you are around Christian people, the more comfortable you are that your kids are around Christian people, the less comfortable you are around the unknown and the more you have to try to include non-Christians in your life. And Jesus does this. This is the example that he does. He goes and he lives among people who are living in darkness, in the shadow, in the region, in the shadow of death. So if you said, okay, well, maybe, I'm not sure if when he says darkness, maybe it was just a place, you know, like Alaska, that it wasn't, but maybe that's not spiritual, it was. But look at the next one, region and shadow of death. These were people who were spiritually removed from God. And then look at the last phrase, on them a light has dawned. What's it saying? Jesus, the Son of God, moved in amongst them. People who were in darkness, far from God, now God was amongst them. A light had been turned on. And we'll see in the continuation, part two next week, we'll see how that light got disseminated. But listen, part of the light turning on was Jesus was amongst them. Jesus came to live with them. Jesus, the Son of God, representing the Father, put on human clothes and lived as a representative, as someone who reflected God to the people who were far from God. Isn't that what we're called to do as well if we imitate this? It isn't when you are part of a group of people who don't know God, and you sit across a table from the person who doesn't know God, and you become their friend, and you talk with them. You choose to spend time with people who are far from the Father. When I choose to spend time with people who are in darkness, who are not in light, who are living in death, people, when I really sit and think about them, like, it breaks my heart because they're headed to a destination, an eternal destination far from the Father. And isn't it true that when we choose to spend time with people like that, that in the same way that when Jesus started living among them, light dawned. If you're God's child, God the Spirit lives in you, and you're supposed to represent, you're supposed to be a representation of God the Father to people around you. And you're supposed to, by the way you live, by the way I live, we're supposed to show people what it looks like for a life to be transformed, to go from darkness to light. We're supposed to be different, not in a goody-two-shoes kind of way, not in a I'm better than you, so I'm going to make you feel bad kind of way, but we are supposed to be real living representations of what transformation looks like. And so when you and I take up residence among people who are far from the Father, and we spend time with people who are far from God, light and hope and life is supposed to dawn there around us. We are representatives. That's what it means to be Christ's ambassador. When you and I show up, we are supposed to bring something with us. And just the fact that we are there with people who are far from God, light is entering. We'll talk more about how that works next time. But what I want us to look at today is that the longer that we are Christians, if you are a Christian, the longer that you're a Christian, the easier it is to not spend time with people who are far from God. We get comfortable with our Christian routines, which are good, but the gravitational pull is to spend less and less of time with people who are far from God. What Jesus did in this example is he moved in next to people who were far from God, and he lived among them in the middle of their darkness, in the middle of their death. And as a result, it set a light. It's dawned. What if this year, what if we spent this year, you and I spent this year, we keep coming to the meetings, to the gatherings, we keep breaking bread together, we keep singing to Jesus together, we keep reading the Bible with our children and our spouses at home, we keep our small group and whatever you do right now, we keep doing that, but what if we focused our lives on spending time with people far from God? Maybe for you that's your neighbor. Maybe for you it's somebody at school. Maybe it's for you it's somebody in your family. What if we spent our time and focused our lives this year on being like Jesus and moving in and spending time with people far from the Father, people who are living in darkness and the shadow of death? What might God do with our lives by putting us as his representatives amongst them this year if we focused on that, if we made conscious decisions to spend time with people far from the Father? So, what do you do with that? It wasn't the complete passage, and so I don't have the complete application. But when I read that, and what challenged me this week is, how am I spending time with people far from God? And how can I keep doing that? And then the bigger question is, how can I spend more time with people who are far from God? And if you're a Christian, I would challenge you to ask yourself that question and then start doing it. And if you're not a Christian, and if you've heard this and you said far from God and God's wrath on them and people living in darkness and not light, and if you still have not made the decision to follow Jesus, maybe as we were talking about this, you something inside you said, that's you. You're the person who's far from God. You're the person that someone who is God's child needs to spend time with. And if you said, that's me, then this is an invitation for you to say, I want to be God's child. And you can. You can repent and be baptized, and you can become God's child. Just tell someone when you're ready to make that decision. You can do that. And once you do, then you'll have the same task that the rest of us have, which is to spend time with people far from God and to be his representative to them. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you right now, and we thank you because you're good. We thank you because you loved us. We thank you, God, because you came and looked for us when we were far from you. And you sent your people. Maybe for some of us it was a person. For others of us it was a lot of people. But you sent your people to take up residence with us, to live with us, to share their lives with us when it wouldn't have been comfortable for them to do that, when we were going down a different path than they were, when it would have been so much easier for them just to spend time with their Christian friends. They chose to spend time with us and to help us know you. We thank you for that. Now, God, I pray that you would help us this year to be a community of people who are consciously focused on people who are far from you. Every time that we have a choice between the person who knows you and the person who doesn't, that you would push us to make the harder choice to sit down with the person who doesn't know you and share life and share friendship and share life and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.